up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.8, More Dick Jokes, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Crepuscular. Means of relating to or resembling twilight. It is used in zoological context to describe creatures that are active during twilight.
Like your 7-Eleven job.
I feel like that's more nocturnal.
I feel like that definitely counts as more nocturnal.
But it starts out
in crepuscular time. I wake up in the crepuscular.
Ew. There's an ointment for that, I'm sure.
There's an ointment for everything.
Chapter 15. Harry follows Greycloak to his hideaway, and it is revealed he is in league with Cowl.
Wait a minute. Who's Greycloak?
I am! So we're at the point where Harry has to decide if he's going to follow, because there may or may not be protective wards where he's going.
Yes.
But fortunately,
no thresholds.
Yay. So off to Undertown. Whee.
Do you think if you were looking up at the sky and saw your larger self looming over, being the puppet master above you, you'd have a feeling of vertiginous? Yeah, got it. Pretend that was the last episode. Okay, let's go. Forgot to say it last episode. Don't have to respond, just need to put it in. Okay, crepuscular.
Is that the correct use?
Wait, what was vertiginous again?
Feeling of dizziness, usually caused by great heights, but not always.
Was it the one off vertigo? Okay. But yes, we end up in Undertown, so we find out a couple of interesting things. A, yes, right, no threshold, that's good, that's great. Secondly, Harry hasn't mapped it out, and there's some good reasons for that.
Yeah.
One, it's not mapped out, and he's not about to go wandering around to do it.
It's pretty dangerous, yeah.
And, yeah.
Sounds like it would suck a lot.
And
how would you even do that on a model? Like, you couldn't. Like, he would be underneath the table pasting things.
Yeah.
Build a second level model. But yes,
I guess.
I think his first two reasons are actually more legitimate than his third reason. Because his third reason is, but mostly because I didn't even think to do it. I'm like, really? The PI who chases supernatural monsters didn't think about mapping the supernatural dungeons that make up your entire city.
He was just like, hyper-focused on the prettiness of the top.
I fully get that was a massive product.
And now I was going to say,
project in and of itself.
I was going to say, you suddenly decide you're going to map out your entire city and you need a piece of everything. You're not starting to think.
That's why step one or point one and point two make more sense than point three. Like, you didn't think about it? I didn't want to.
I didn't, yeah.
Valid excuse. I didn't think about it. Doesn't make sense. That's your job.
Yeah,
he's like, he would have gotten there eventually. He just, you know,
stop rushing me.
I'm still kind of amazed. Like, if he's mapped pretty much the whole city, how did it not take him a decade at longer?
And clearly done a good enough job that he can still get into underground in some capacity.
Yeah.
Because he's still got this person. Again, because he zapped the fleck of paint off the car. And he's no longer following the car.
Yeah.
Like, he's putting all his focus into following this person. So
yeah, he's totally just a spirit thing.
Spirit on spirit now.
Astral projection.
Like, yeah, he doesn't have, like, a focus anymore because they left the car.
And to be fair, the paint was just to find the car. That was just a tracking spell, right?
But it gave him something to anchor onto, mm-hmm. too, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I say, like, again, he's just fully mind on mind, his spirit following that spirit into the spirit realm that he has no...
That's kind of crazy that somebody would be so, like, sensitive to being, followed by an astral projection. Like, that's pretty, like, that's...
Hey, third eye, man.
That's fucking talented, I think.
Well, yeah, that is weird and understandable why he's got to pour so much more will and energy because exactly he no longer has any
Oh, no, I'm talking about Greycloak. Who's like, I think I'm being followed. That he can sense an astral projection following him.
He didn't figure it out. He said, I wasn't followed.
But he's suspicious, though. He says he's like...
In the car, he was a little bit like, what was that?
Oh, yeah, he heard the noise when Harry, cracked his knuckles or whatever.
And he's like, I don't
but
know.
But even when he gets to talking to this other person, he says as much. He was like, he didn't follow me in any physical way. Oh, now's a good time to start making specifics.
Yeah.
One of my favorite superhero movies is Kick-Ass, because I think it's actually so interesting that really his only superpower was that he just had no nerves and couldn't feel the abuse that he was taking. Yeah. And I thought it was a really good movie. I can't watch it because it's too violent, but the one time I watched it, I thought, what a great concept of basically no powers, but just can't feel the abuse, can pretty much take anything and keep going. And yeah, also watching Dresden essentially loom over his table, watching himself die and being like, he'll be fine. I got things to do. And especially not having a spotter there, because no offense, Bob can't do shit. Bob can't call, catch, do CPR, can't do anything.
All Bob can do is
watch it happen, and for him to still be, it'll be fine, I'm good.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, he's not entirely like, I'll be fine. He's like, oh, I have to start paying more attention because I'm about to pass out.
Yeah, but he's not stopping either.
But yes, the
lacks a little bit of a foresight for his own well-being.
That he is still taking that chance to push it that far because,
still, it just seems like one of those things that, having a spotter would have been a smarter idea.
Smart, clever, yeah, exactly. But hey. Harry say,
Lash is spotting.
In the moment.
Lash and Bob, who neither of them have any sort of physical components that can help.
But she does have...
Lash, can you electrocute us right now and restart
Yeah. I was going to say, not control, but she does have influence over
Do you think
his,
she would wrench him back if he went too far?
His. I would feel like, because again, Lash looks out for herself, right? So again, self-preservation, she would, I'm sure.
Well, because we already have a little bit of a hint that she's been... influencing his subconscious.
Conspiring.
Just so much easier to talk to when you're asleep. But yeah, exactly. Yes.
But like, if maybe knocked out, there's still a little bit of
way
for
him to... See how she wants him to get knocked out? She's like,
I was going
to
say...
All right, now I can fix this.
I was going to say...
I hate when you're on a case. You don't sleep for 4 days. I can't do anything with you.
she can exploit that fine line that she can't do anything before, but then like the second he loses consciousness, then she can like take over and
it's
prevent
in her interest
from,
that he passes out.
Preventing any like further damage by, you know, so exactly. It's just catching that fine line, that moment because you enter from one into the other.
The mind over matter versus biology and yada yada.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's fun to think.
I don't know. Could she actually stop and start his biological responses? Can she just stop allowing nutrients to run through his body and make him super anemic so he is just fainting all the time and she can just talk to his subconscious more often and exert more control? Or does she have zero effect on any biological process? She's just in there as a voice.
She can trick his brain into thinking he's in a hot shower while he's actually in a cold shower. So, like, that's sort of affecting a little bit of biology.
Yeah, you think you could fool him into thinking he's full all the time and doesn't need to eat.
Oh,
which
yeah,
would
that'd
then,
be interesting.
You
yeah.
know, so, yeah. I mean, again, like you
it's
say
less
that...
It's about the actual biological process, though, and more just the...
Mind over matter.
Understanding
of
the reaction to the biological process that would be.
Yeah.
Which can still be used against you, but it's different than the actual thing. It's, so Teen Wolf. In a later season, kind of the three main characters sacrifice themselves to save their parents who have been kidnapped as sacrifices. So they're like, we'll just sacrifice ourselves first and their parents will be fine. And then whatever, they save the day, season ends, whatever. But we find out in a later season that something demon used that sacrifice as a gateway to sneak into one of the characters' minds and possess them.
Right.
And then acts like them for a significant portion of the season while slowly committing murders behind everyone's back. Eventually it comes out that this main character's been the one committing all the murders. The main character's mom died of front temporal dementia, you know, 10 years before the show started.
Right.
And starts showing that the character has front temporal dementia. So everyone's like, oh, well, they're going to die anyways. And like when they go to the hospital and get CT scans, it comes up as like front temporal dementia. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's like the exact same thing that your mom had. Like, this is so sad. You're going to die, whatever. The whole time wasn't real. It was just a demon creating it. But it made it even show up on the machines and things like that. So,
yeah. Crazy.
Anyways, I don't know. It's somewhat relevant, but not really. I'm not sure.
It
seemed
train.
A little bit.
Depends how much influence demons do or don't have. I mean, again, yeah, it makes sense if you can manipulate a certain amount of whatever. Then
yeah, I'm like, basically, we've seen Lash can only manipulate Harry because nobody else could see.
Yes,
Greenwich. Greenwich. What's that place? Green Valley.
No, Cap. Cambrian green.
Cabrini green.
Cabrini green.
Cambridge, definitely not Cabrini
Greenwich,
green.
Greenwich, I know. Cabrini green, that's
Cabrini
the one.
Cabrini green, yeah.
So, does that beg the question of now whether Teen Wolf's mom actually was just possessed by a demon too, or did she really die of a front temporal lobe disorder?
Interesting question. Interesting question. Guess I'll have to reboot the series to explore further.
And we have our next side podcast.
I'd love to do a podcast about Teen Wolf. Actually, I wouldn't. I could never consume that show again.
So, Harry does follow a gray cloak. He sweats it out a bit and manages to follow him.
Which I can't blame, because he's kind of taken it this far where exactly it's like he's found out a little bit, but he hasn't really found out anything. So it's like to walk away now is, right, so I fully understand that wanting to just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more.
It'll
really
be
fine. Hopefully, maybe something will pay off and I will find something out that is.
And again, I get why he chose Greycloak, because he feels that if he's run into the other guy... Process of elimination. How many people can that
He'll
be?
Figure it out again. Yeah,
but yeah. That means
and also I beat him once.
That's
I can beat
actually
him again.
So many people. Genuinely, actually, so many people. But regardless,
depending. I mean, fair. It was a 50-50. And I mean, again, I totally get it. You got this one that you know absolutely nothing about, and one that you
apparently know
may or may not cross paths with again. May or may not be able to figure it right. At least there's so yeah.
So Greycloak makes it to his little hidey area so he can sort of rejuvenate himself and calls upon his lord.
His lair.
Who turns out to be Cowl.
Yeah, process of elimination, Harry eventually decides this must be Cowl, even though he was pretty sure that guy totally died during the Dark
Hollow. Because it's a guy in a hood and it sounds like him, therefore... I don't know, can we also just real quick address the fact that he mentions as part of, like, Chicago sinking and rebuilding and having these tunnels that they also house the Manhattan Project for a while, and so he's like, until some government genius decided that maybe building nuclear weapons under, like, the 10th largest city wasn't a good idea, let's maybe take this out to the middle. Yeah, thank you very much for whoever decided to start doing that in the first place.
I mean, that's literally how everyone kind of knew it was happening, because it was like, oh, wow, every top scientist in the world having their mail forwarded to Chicago. Oh, now they're all having it forwarded to the middle of nowhere. Okay, nothing's happening. Same as the Pentagon pizza watch.
yeah, no. What?
The Pentagon?
The Pentagon pizza watch? Is that what you
so,
said?
So Pizza Hut, the nearest Pizza Hut to the Pentagon has like a busy signal. And every time that America shoots missiles, like 12 hours before, Pizza Hut suddenly becomes like 5,000% busy.
Oh!
Everyone's pulling
so
overtime at the Pentagon.
Pizza Hut tracker, and they're like, oh, guys, Pizza Hut is really busy. Pentagon's gonna fucking nuke someone. And then sure enough, pretty much without fail, always the Pentagon nukes someone like
who
12 hours later.
Who figures that out in the first place, man?
Guy who really
These
wants to order
with
pizza.
With pattern recognition skills. Woo.
But now it's just a thing. Like, everyone in the world knows to check the Pizza Hut
Holy
pizza
shit.
Tracker now and be like, oh, guys, something's gonna happen tomorrow. Pentagon's really busy right now.
Okay, so anyways, yes. So he finally tracks him down, and his super... Like, he's got his super height on is just like, yeah, like a bedroll and like fucking power bars. Like, this poor guy. Like, even dressed
in the
like
high life.
Those things people do when they want to punish themselves for. I agree with you. I don't think I've ever met like a power bar I like.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
And I have like a friend of a friend who.
Yeah, like,
she likes the booster. And I definitely like
I
some
those,
of
those. Lived on those in university. They were.
Yeah, no, I just
and energy drinks.
They are just inedible. They are not. Yeah, I would rather starve.
Exactly. I bought one thinking, oh, birthday cake's got to be a good flavor. It was so nasty. I took one bite and chucked the rest out. It was so gross. I'm
yeah,
like, that's not birthday cake. You should not be allowed to call yourself birthday cake at all.
Right. For like, so I like some of the smoothies and things from like Booster Juice, but they now have. I don't know. It's a new thing, but I don't order them, so I don't know. They've got yeah, like these little granola bars and like power balls and things like. That for the protein balls. And again, I'm never going to order them because it doesn't matter what you call them, how, right? You call it birthday cake, you're not going to fool me. I know that shit is not going to.
Okay, Greycloak doesn't waste much time at least. I like that he didn't, you know, he didn't just hang out. He didn't start reading
Which,
a book.
I know, because Harry's like, well, this is really, I'm getting with grades. I guess I should
Dude
go
just went
to
home.
What? Yeah, thankfully he crammed down his power bars and then was like, all right, let me call the boss right away.
Woo. Yeah, it would have been way funnier, though, if he just turned on Netflix that bad.
What is the wizardly equivalent of, like, Netflix? Because he can't...
A book.
Reading
yeah.
a book.
Yeah.
Sitting in McAnally's watching the fur
fly. Do you want a spell tome, maybe? Will that feel more...
What?
A spell tome?
Like a daily prophet where like the pictures move on their own.
Yeah, yeah. He pulls out a crystal ball and just starts staring into it.
Show me what happened on the Brady Bunch this week. Comic
that
books.
That would be about where he'd up
That
to.
Was what was on TV last time he was able to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that would be about up to speed for a wizard, but...
There's no sunlight there. So.
Well, I was going to say, they screw up technology anyways. Plus, he's in Undertown where you're not going to be getting... You'd have to have such like a janky connection of...
Do not plug the space heater into an electrical cord. And it's just 15 electrical cords coming from like, some 7-Eleven down the street.
Right? So, like, already you're so screwed. Like, you can't have it no matter what. Plus, your magic would... But yes, okay.
This is my generator. It's plugged into my other generator. And the generator's plugged into the first generator.
So, at least Cowell takes that second to go, you know, I'm going to... Just,
oh, you don't think,
I don't trust you.
You were followed? Wait, what?
Wait, I'm reading between the lines here. What is he saying?
The first thing you report to me is that the other dumbass got Harry involved. Yeah,
what precautions have you taken? I was not followed in flesh. Yeah. No, I'm reading what you're putting down.
He's kind of a really good assistant, actually. He's not keeping any secrets. Everything on the table. It's occurring to me right now. He could be behind me. Is he behind me? Yes, he's behind me. Don't worry, boss. I just laid down the whole plan in front of them. I'll explain the whole thing so you can skip the villain speech, okay?
Right. Oh no, you got me monologuing.
I don't know why that one made me laugh harder.
Oh no.
I guess this is the wizard's version of Netflix. He's got his little holographic projection of Cowell and his little crystal ball Rooney plaque thing.
Yep.
His little Obi-Wan standing here giving his report.
The Force is strong. You're my only hope.
But yes, I love how we don't get a lot, but he's like, I think it's Cowell. Like, again, basically, I'm like, you never even knew who Cowell was because you never actually. So I was like, I
he makes a lot of assumptions about Cowell for no reason.
I get it. I mean, again, this was the character you were presented with for that entire period of time, you know, that
That's
book. And now all of a sudden that exact thing is back. Like, sure.
Cowell didn't actually present as evil when we first met him in Deadbeat. He just seemed like he had goals. Okay, he's trying to destroy the books. Okay, that seems like potentially on good guy's side so that nobody can do the Dark Hour. Oh, because you want to do it yourself. Okay, well, that's more on the team bad guy. But, oh, well, Kumoria literally just wants to, like, save people from death, and you're working with her, so that doesn't seem so evil. And even when he put the gun to Dresden and stole Bob and things, like, that even still wasn't necessarily evil. That's just like, okay, fair's play. I need magic, I need power, whatever, right? But this actually seems like Cowell's an actually evil guy, and kill him, bah, he's a fool, bah, he's gonna ruin all our plans. I'm like, oh, Cowell, you are a bad guy. That wasn't...
Or he's finally, like, learned not to, like, give
Don't
Dresden
give him an inch, because they'll shake his
pie. Even still, this is, again, the passenger in Grey Cloak and Cowell in Grey Cloak, everyone's arguing about how much of an idiot Dresden is. Everyone's like, he's definitely an idiot, but he's a capable idiot. We're all
he's
a little biased about
lucky
exactly...
He's a idiot for... Not lucky for himself, but lucky for catching bad guys. I mean, I get what you're saying. I never exactly didn't look at Cowell as being not a... I mean, again...
I mean, he's anti-Dresden, but he didn't necessarily come across in the same evil ways that, like, Gravain, for example, did, or the
Corpse
Keeper.
Yeah, not quite as Kemler Ray. Mm-hmm. He wasn't quite as interested in wholesale slaughter. He seemed a little bit more prejudiced about... Like, in a good way.
I know, more
he's
focused.
More about...
Indiscriminate
about who he wanted or whatever.
Ambiguous to, like, what, like... Not kind of running literally along the this gray area.
Yeah.
But isn't worried about...
Collateral damage.
Yeah. Like taking somebody's life to get what he is...
Yeah, he just kind of does...
He didn't do the mindless killing for the sake of mindless killing.
I was going to say, yeah, Corpse Taker is more that. Corpse Taker is more just wants to kill everybody and everything and doesn't care. Whereas he's like, again... There has to be, like, a purpose. More like Johannes or something like that. Yeah. I don't give a shit about killing anybody, but there has to be, like, a good reason for it. It has to serve a purpose for me to do it.
I'm not going
to
waste my time doing it.
I'm not going to waste my time or exactly build up more ill will against me because I've just left. People are already going to be pissed about the people I have to kill. I don't need to exacerbate the problem, but, you know? Like, Cal is a little bit more like that way. Like, yeah.
Yes, he's a little more focused and direct. I guess. It definitely comes across as being White Council sort of a... attitude.
But I mean, again, I think you definitely can make the argument for the Black Council in the sense that, yeah, I mean, Harry obviously is. Kamori gives him some food for thought, but he still has a really hard time with it because Harry still cannot fathom that black magic can be used for anything good. Right. Whereas that is still definitely what Cowell is doing. Cowell is still all about the necromancy and things like that. Right. So that way, again, he's less neutral because of that. Right. That's where Harry puts him much more firmly in the other side. And again, Cowell doesn't seem to even be as altruistic as Kamori is, where Cowell isn't even necessarily
he's just
more for his own gain and his own purposes.
He just seems less composed this novel than he seemed in Deadbeat.
But then again, he did just get mostly killed the last time he met. So you know what? He might not be as willing to be...
Trauma.
Right? You know what I mean?
This sort of implies that he doesn't have a physical body, not because they're just doing some sort of astral phone call, but more because he doesn't have a physical body anymore. So he's Lord Voldemort.
It could be any number of those things. All of them, none of them, parts of them.
No wonder he says it's his lord.
Oh, this is Wormtail.
But
Great Cloak is Wormtail, confirmed.
And we're right back to, if you just let Crookshanks eat Scabbers.
Everything's solved. So many
things.
I think if I was a rat, though, and a cat took a bite out of me, I would instantly change. So it's only taken, a tiny bite, not my whole fucking head.
I was going to say, if I was about to get pounced on,
I would be shifting immediately.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not letting myself get neat.
Who are you? Yeah. You have to give him props for that. He was dedicated to
the physics work of that. Because you can't, get rid of matter. Where does the matter go?
Oh, sorry. There's this thing called magic.
Potter takes place in this thing called the Wizarding World.
They all have a
Some
pocket
of
dimension.
Things there work
matter.
A little bit different than.
Here I am getting used to Harry Dresden's actual logic of things.
Don't worry, in a couple more books, you're going to meet more shape shifting characters, and Dresden's going to go into more about how.
Shape shifting. We're not going to get an explanation for it.
He does give you some on. Admittedly, the going down in mass is a hard one, but you just keep slathering on the ectoplasm to just build up mass. So if a mouse wants to turn into a horse, he just sucks a bunch of ectoplasm out of the Never Never and just turns it into a giant horse thing. But yeah, I have to admit, it's a lot hinkier going down the other way to that if the horse suddenly wants to be, you just turn your real mass into ectoplasm and shed it all.
I'm not sure. You just have a pocket dimension where you keep the extra mass for storage.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he does kind of go into...
I assume it just gets turned into energy and then, sparkles.
Oh, he's a Doctor Who transformer.
I don't know. She had sparkly. Isn't that an Edward Cullen transformer thing or something?
I'm going to Frankenstein everything into one.
We're just giving you a whole lot to work with your...
So again, I never read the Twilight ones. I saw the first movie because my sister read the books and rented it. And I was like...
Twilight.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about...
No. I don't want to talk about a lot of it other than the fact that I have a Buffy shirt that's and then Buffy staked Edward at the end, which I think is funny, but...
Crepuscular?
I would talk about my ferret, who
that's
is,
cheating.
In fact,
that's
Crepuscular.
Cheating. That's cheating. It doesn't count. It has nothing to do with the Dresden Files. You don't get that one.
Cowell recognizes that Harry is in the room, and the smackdown begins.
But even before this, when this guy calls him up, right when Greycloak calls him up, he's like, hey, my lord. And there's a pause, and he's like, you failed. And he's like, no, I haven't succeeded yet. Hang on.
How do you know, Cowell, you piece of shit?
The fact that he's right here is you're back and you don't have the stuff, so obviously, but he's just instantly, he's like, you failed, you fucked up already again. He's like, no,
yeah, harsh boss. Yeah, right.
You have failed. I have not yet succeeded. That's it.
That's what I always tell my boss when I don't do my job.
Right. So we find out that passenger is... No big surprise, a bit of a patsy or whatever here, because he's like, the fool with you? Haha, he's still a fool. So obviously they're keeping stuff from him again, so they've got
the
their plan.
The shit talking begins.
So their plan, which doesn't involve his plan, which doesn't involve their plan, which lingers on their plan. So yeah, there's layers upon layers and pawns and patsies and cutouts and whatever. So shockingly, the bad guys do not have high respect for the other bad guys they're working with.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Crazy.
I do appreciate, though, that Cowell straight up says, oh, Dresden's interfering now. This changes things. Like, thank you. Some fucking goddamn recognition.
Yeah, once in a while. And he's like, yeah, because the other guy brought him in because he had to settle this thing and he had to bring him in. And so, yeah, he's like, what the f-? I mean, really? When will people learn? I mean, obviously the guy didn't have a lot of interaction with him, or he would know. He'd either be dead already or would know not to. So I get it's the fault. But I'm like,
by virtue of actually being too small fry, Dresden let you live.
Yeah, but again, like, you have no, like, again, you look at like Lara and stuff like that. Like, she's done her research. And I get Lara's higher up and wants to be in the know of what's going on.
But it's just not one of those, like, people that is smarter.
But not that hard to, right? Okay, you got a new player on the scene or whatever, find out. So by the time this, I mean, again, presumably the guy that he's crossed paths with has seen something. Like, yeah, okay, he got to live. But presumably it was more than just, like, I ran into him at the coffee shop. Otherwise,
it's just significantly funny to me that it should be pretty worldwide supernatural knowledge. But at the least between the vampires, I get there's different courts, but at least the vampires are like, who started the war with the red vampires? Should I know anything about that person?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. It's not like, even if you're not doing hardcore, even if you're not aware of all the moves Harry's been making since, like, Stormfront. Exactly. You'd think by this point, he's obviously, and again, even just that you had come up with him, you'd think somebody knows somebody that knows somebody that would have.
Don't you read the wizard newspaper?
Come do on. You? Right?
Even Gravain and Corpse Taker kind of accidentally stumbling onto the scene, having no idea about Dresden. That kind of made sense because they were totally removed from all that other bullshit. They were just doing their own thing this whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't make sense for these, like, in Chicago players to be like, Dresden, he's just a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And again, you can sure bet that after, I mean, Cowell here is a prime example, but yeah, you met Gravain and Corpse Taker and stuff like that. Next time would have been like, all right, so what do I know about this? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, had they lived,
go to my bad guy coffee shop and ask everybody.
Right? They would have done a little bit. So that's what,
like,
I mean.
Like you said, did you get the email? Whatever you said.
Check the paper.
Yeah, check did you paper, check the yeah. wizard paper?
Did you check yeah. the paper. But yeah, exactly, right? I'm like, this information is out there. You'd think you would start acting or asking around a little bit.
And even more for people like Dresden who have to do the grunt work themselves, it's not likely that he knows every player in Chicago. But these other people who have infinite money and connections, and Dresden who is, I'm in the paper, I'm a wizard, look me up and know about me.
Well, that's
I'm leaving
it.
My calling card Dresden all over town.
Is, again, it's the fact of Dresden is one person. All the bad guys can find out about him. He is trying to find out about a million bad guys.
But that's so what I'm saying. All the million bad guys are doing their own fucking shit as well, right? They're
no,
not just focused
I mean.
On Dresden. But Dresden is such a loud character that how do you ignore it? That's willful ignorance.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, right? It's all, a lot easier for all of them to find out about this one main guy that is caught. I mean, obviously, Dresden's not the only person
like, yes,
in the world. But
to
yeah.
us, it's Dresden versus all the bad guys. To the bad guys, it's Duke Ortega versus all the bad guys. And it's Laura Wraith versus all the bad guys. And it's
yeah.
Cowell versus... they're not all on one team together. They all are their own people. But there is still some intermingling happening between them and deals and trades and information exchanges that Dresden doesn't have access to and that they do.
Right. And yeah. when Harry makes moves, they're big fucking moves.
That's my point. He's yeah. literally, at all times, he's like, look at me, motherfucker. I'm trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And then these other people are going around like, psh, what a baby.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's what makes no sense, that this guy, having lived to tell the tale in whatever capacity, which we'll find out.
But it made sense he killed Duke Ortega. He didn't, actually. That was Ebenezer. But still, he killed Victor Sells. Obviously, he's a loser, so that doesn't count.
Bianca? You want to go with Bianca?
Maybe Bianca. Yeah, he killed Bianca at the start of the Red War. I don't know. To a certain point, like, they're like, but, you know, she was barely a red. Like, she just barely started to climb the power scale, so that's not impressive. I'm not impressed. He's still a baby.
Yeah. See, even that, though, she was already, like, a baroness and was moving.
I'm trying to say, though, like, this is, like, the attitude of all these people that won't take him seriously, is that they think they're so far above all of the other people that he's taken out that they're just like, ah.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, they definitely have their own biases, so.
Yeah. Anyways, you're right.
Yes. But,
whatever.
Those silly humans.
Cowell migraines him.
Yes.
Bitch
slap. I am pretty impressed at Cowell's, when they're talking. Cowell is pretty pragmatic when it comes to unnecessary killing in some ways, because he even does say, when he finds out that, like, how Dresden has been pulled into it, the fool, there's not enough profit in Dresden's death to jeopardize this operation. So he doesn't have
That...
Like, these very...
Yeah, and I mean, there's a small part of me that if this is indeed Cowell, you should have taken him out before. You're going to start operating in his city again? You know he's going to fucking stick his nose in it. I mean, yes.
That too, yeah.
You weren't planning on somebody inviting him into
your party.
Just
how much stuff gets past Harry that we don't know about. Like, that. There's a bias there that Harry... manages to find out everything. He probably doesn't. Like,
no.
They could pull over a fast one.
But still, it would have been in the best interest to have taken Harry out quietly when you came back to town. You're like, oh, I still have shit to do in Chicago? Let me just go and fucking sniper him now and be done.
Yeah, might have been a better plan than trying to get around because, like you say, you saw how much, once he started to get a sniff of last time, how he ended up finding out the big plot and how many issues and problems he caused for you and stuff like that. So, I mean, yes, just on the one hand, you would think that maybe he would have.
But clearly he doesn't think it's an efficient move to make. Because
I guess Cowell's whole defense plan was just don't let Harry find out about it point blank and it never's going to be our problem. We don't have to take him out. He won't take us out.
And
granted,
had Passenger not started leaving these extra notes and making... I mean, again, Murphy was kind of onto something, but she hadn't figured that part out yet.
Yeah,
but
because Harry would have just been like, it's just what it is.
Like, yeah, without those specifically, it's exactly. Murphy would have been like, hey, these are weird, but Harry might not necessarily have picked up more than that either, right? So, yes, they possibly could have remained under the radar and he never would have.
I still feel like that's wrong. I still feel like they were supernatural enough without the... Because what's the thing being left for Harry? Just the Exodus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but, like, they were still suspicious deaths.
They were suspicious. Like,
and the fact that they were magic users is another...
Right, but, like,
Harry,
Murphy couldn't have known that they were magic users on her own. Like, cops couldn't have known that, so that wouldn't have been enough to call Harry in.
Well, there was the signs, right, because she had, like, her little altar, right? So, yeah, Murphy can't Murphy can't detect the magic, but there were signs, like you say, of being a kitchen witch or Wicca, whatever those, right? And then, yes, the other things were, like, you don't put dinner out to thaw and then, like, kill yourself.
Either way, they get in the psychic squabble, and right before Cowell knocks him out of the remote session... Harry makes a ditch attempt to focus on Greycloak's face. I got it. For the barest instant, the face of a man in his mid-30s, tall and lean and wolfish. And boom, he's gone.
Boom. So, yeah. Gets the old KO punch, but at least he finally took a look at the guy, so...
Too bad I can't draw, but I'll recognize him if I see him.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 16. Harry recovers from the psychic attack by Cowell. Murphy comes by, and they share information on what they've found out. So Harry wakes up to Molly, who is understandably concerned.
She's not that concerned. She's speaking through a megaphone directly into his ear and, like, pounding claws into his eyeballs. And, yeah, Harry's not feeling too good.
Ow.
He was already taking a ton of effort, but then to get, like...
zapped on top of that. Yeah.
Spiked.
Yeah. And Harry's like, man, he's like, I don't even ever, like, hardly drink. So it's like, I don't even get the fun of having, like, he's just always suffering the hangovers and never actually any of the fun part of them that comes with. Molly, very, very worried. And he's like, just so typical, you know, like, the friggin', like quick shouting at him. He's just like, I'm barely whispering.
Leave me alone. I'm being nice. I just saved your life, you dick.
Right. And then, okay, really, Bob?
Bob
really?
The creep.
Bob the creep. Again, whatever. I get the purpose of Bob for, like, the humors and the... But this is just such an odd... Like, this is such a weak connection. He's like, what happened? And she's like, I don't know. Either she's working out or she's putting makeup on her arms. I'm like, really? Like, yes, that is definitely it. She has started contouring and highlighting her arms. So that the inanimate skull that she doesn't, you know, in the basement.
And Bob's a fucking weirdo. No, not for Bob, for Harry.
But, you know, I'm pretty sure Harry can see those things and knows he sees a lot more.
No, Bob's fucking insane.
It's just, that's the thing. It was just a really weak kind of all the things he could have, like, he could have just gone another way. And to, you know, then like she's growing up, she's filling out, she's losing the baby fat or whatever. But it was just kind of such a weird connection for me, even in the way he did it, that just made it like 10 times worse about the whole thing. I'm just like, dude.
Dude.
Gee, no, I don't know. Maybe what happened to me that I'm flat out on my app. Oh, right, that. Yeah, you almost died, boss. Right, of course. Maybe that's what you were asking about. Like, really? Like, for an intellect of Aerospear, that is, the whole purpose of him is to be, like, wisdom for Harry. He is so fucking, clueless and not.
Like, he's been denied that information, he's obsessed with it.
I guess. I mean, I get, like you say, Bob takes on that sort of personality with him. Like, yeah, he probably wouldn't have been pulling this shit with Kemmler or whatever, but still.
Could you imagine?
Still, I just feel like, you know, you're taking it a little bit too, like, in the moment. Come on, Bob. Like,
exactly.
This is dark ogling.
They're just, I think, evil, and we just have to accept that.
Just fucked up.
So, Jim Butcher has taken Little Chicago off the table, quite literally.
As a tool.
He threw it through the table.
Just that block.
Yeah,
but just that wee block. You can use the rest of the city.
But it is interesting there where he's...
It's a roadblock.
Bum, 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 bum.
It took me too long to figure out that, too.
Are you guys laughing at home? Tell us.
I'm funny, right? Right? Please? Oh, dear.
Boy.
Nice to see that it worked, though. It didn't blow a hole through your head. Good job, Little Chicago. And obviously, Threshold. But good job, Little Chicago.
The search protector or whatever. Yeah, exactly worked. It did.
Especially because Bob still hasn't really been willing to say yes, whether or not... Little Chicago safe to use.
Yeah, yeah. He just keeps going.
That's very experimental.
Yeah, yeah, very.
And then Harry just keeps being like, well, I gotta do it.
These goddamn prototypes.
I tell you, right?
But you definitely have to make things harder for your character by taking away some of the tools that they would be able to use later.
Jim Butcher's so annoying. It was does that.
Damn it.
Okay, call Murph.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think this is kind of a nice touch that, you know, he's like, did we have a lesson today? Like, were you supposed to be here? And she's like, no, but Murphy was trying to get a hold of you and couldn't. Called my place. I couldn't get a hold of you, so we panicked, and I came to check. And he's like,
that's pretty safe.
Good
job, Mal.
In this instance, he is like, okay, yeah, that's not always, but yes, in this case, that was the right call, and yes, I'm glad you did, because, yep, I got myself in a pickle.
This is a better safe than sorry check.
Well,
yes,
even like
I told you, it was dangerous, Molly.
You're right. See why you don't do this? But even just without taking like the magical backlash and stuff like that, like again, Harry's already, we know it's very tight quarters down here, even though he keeps them tidier. I'm like, you're like, you didn't smash your head on a table going
uranium explodes.
Right? Like that's the
thing. The theatrical version, they like have him thrown by the wires.
Yeah, he did.
Lands into the shelf.
In the TV show version, he gets thrown into a wall.
Yeah, see, exactly, you know, but I mean like that's the thing, even just fainting on the spot. I mean, he's got a concrete floor and that like there's
just bashed his head on the floor.
He could have hit any of the tables around the Chicago in the middle of the, like, yeah.
People Harry, die for less.
Exactly. Yeah. Harry could have just gotten himself into just regular, normal, real life.
It's a terrible way to end the books, but.
And all of a sudden, I know, right? Can you imagine? And it was like, he had this super awesome magical construct, and then he just fucking slips and falls in the bathtub, and that's the end of it.
If you die in the astral world, do you die in real life? Yes, actually, you do. You absolutely do.
Done. So, yeah, so it's kind of cute. She's like, uh-oh, did I screw up again? Like, am I where I'm not supposed to be? And he's like, no, the good call this time, you did it. She's like, whew. And I like to, I'm like, I want to know what happened. She's like, did you have trouble getting through the wards? And she's like, no, not this time. I'm like, she's repeatedly said those things will, like, zap you. So it was like, was it just, like, the lock sticking a little bit? Like, it just took her a minute to disarm
them? I'm sure it's ward shit.
Or, like...
I'm sure it's wards.
She's got, like, the big...
Yeah. Like,
standing
like,
on end, she's sizzling.
Fuck. No, but I meant, like, the equivalent of, like, I was going to say was, you know, because I was like, we know these things could fucking, like, obliterate you, make you just a greasy stain on the sidewalk. And so it was like, was he there with her? Was it just, like, yeah, it just makes you... Yeah, because I was like, obviously he wouldn't have been zapping her or on. I don't know, maybe he would have. Best way to learn is...
Good thing those wizards heal fast.
Right. He's like, not this time.
Starting that brain damage early.
A little bit of perspective. So in the last book, the gatekeeper comes to... Wait, was it the gatekeeper? Yeah, it was. He comes to Harry and says, hey, like, there's black magic in Chicago. Yes. You should probably go fucking look at it, dumb bitch. Do your job. Didn't say shit during Deadbeat. Doesn't say shit during this book. Cowl can just run around and the gatekeeper's like, that's not my business. But Harry's friend is involved. Hey, man, you should probably go look into this. This is so funny.
I mean, you know, it's maybe you want to find out before your friend. Yeah, it's like, well, kill Cowl eventually.
I get that, but the gatekeeper's constantly receiving visions and implications.
And picking and choosing.
It's hard to keep track of that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think so. And I get even Bob saying it's impossible for him to pass on every message because he doesn't know the timeline. He's going to ruin it all. And this must have been so important.
He just needed
to
in the last book because he's like, I fucking need Michael to go save all my friends on the senior council. So it's not... Yeah, if it hadn't been for that connection. Oh, like I say, he might...
Yeah, because that's a big blow.
Molly might have been SOL, but the gatekeeper's like, okay, I got bigger players that are connected to this. So
that would have taken out the Wizard Council pretty much entirely hadn't happened.
But Wizard Council.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoops.
Very funny.
Okay. Like, not only does the gatekeeper, like a bunch of those people that were there, also he's like, damn, I'm like, they're already taken off. I'm already the only one, like,
we have theories that Harry's the real Merlin. And it's all going to go backwards. It's really, everyone's dead, and Harry's just the oldest one left.
So now I have this vision of the gatekeeper as Dr. Strange doing...
Yeah, exactly, yeah, holding the one finger.
The one, yeah.
Pretty much, I'm sure.
Yep, he's just...
I just watched Transformers for the first time ever.
More than meets the eye.
What a great movie. It's so good.
Wait, that was the original with Megan Fox?
Expecting it to be really good.
They're pretty epic.
Because like the trailers are go hardcore, and the final, like, last scene, Optimus Prime speech, comes up all the time in my friend group, and I'm always talking about, like, that fucking speech goes so hard. I gotta watch that movie one of these days. I finally watched it. And, yeah, that moment when Shia LaBeouf is like, in, like, 40 years when you look back on your life, don't you want to say you got in the car? And like just like all these times too, whenever Harry's like convincing his friends, he's like, come on, let's go fairy war, let's go
too
fight
bad,
Dark
so
Hollow,
sad because I'm pretty sure Shia LaBeouf just popped up in the media.
He's a crazy guy,
yeah, or
he's
like
pretty bonkers, you know,
trying to
so with Megan Fox
punch
so
at
her. Do it
But correct me if I'm wrong, aren't we going way back? Wasn't he like Even Stevens?
Yes,
wasn't that the start?
Yes. Hole's movie was probably the start.
I feel like Eva Steven came before Holes.
I don't know. I don't care either.
But either way, just that cute little kid, and then all of a sudden, you're a whacked out adult. I mean, it happens to most of us.
Celebrities.
Most of us just don't do it in front of everybody else, but yeah.
Okay, Murphy's here.
Hi, Murphy.
When? I didn't even hear the doorbell.
Looking and feeling like shit.
Yep. But no, them comparing their notes, that's the part that's interesting. I think Passenger was Mr. Beckett. Impossible. Why not? He's dead. Are you sure? Definitely. Fucking fuck. Also,
it is cute how he's going on with it, and she's like, yeah, makes sense. That's plausible. Yeah, I think she's just like, wait, what? What'd you just, what?
One real quick little thing.
Just tiny. Yeah.
Fuck.
But it does. I kind of like the way he lays it out. I've met him before. I screwed things up. He hasn't been around for a while. Now he could be back. Like, you know. And then of all the things, too, right? Like, the way Murph lays it out. Like he died, like, way back. Like, his second year into his sentence or whatever. Right? Just total wrong place, wrong time. As far as anyone can tell, it was not some big conspiracy. It was not some, you know, demon pulling the things to get back to, you know, it was just straight up fucking prison violence. Shit happens, and yeah.
I have a question. We go through a little bit of the Malvora and the Skavis and the Wraith
houses
designation right now, and what Harry says is like what they feed on. Okay, so Malvora does fear, Wraith is lust, Skavis does pain, despair, whatever.
Yeah.
Does true love only then affect the Wraiths?
True love.
Because, like, because it hasn't been specifically stated as Wraith. It's been specifically stated that White Court vampires can't touch somebody in true love because they're protected. But isn't that more to the lust and sex sort of angle?
That does.
How is that actually, how is that holding off the pain, despair, and the fear vampires?
I think you have a valid point. I think you potentially are correct. An argument could be made that love, again, could be just as powerful against
love
fear.
Love conquers all.
And
right.
And despair.
Sure.
But yeah, you are potentially... Yeah, because I don't think he really does...
He never touches on that. Because to me, I'd forgotten this sort of more specific thing. He kind of touched on it in the last book that... Or Thomas said, like, oh, yeah, my brother's fucked up. He likes to, you know, play with his food and, you know, hurt him. He doesn't do the... Which is weird because isn't his cousin also a Wraith? So he would do the lust thing. But still, Thomas kind of implied that he's kind of like fucked up about it.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's why. Because...
He's the redheaded stepchild?
Yes, because he's supposed to be more of a lust, but he also likes that little bit of fear thrown in. Yes.
Right. But that's why, like,
it's a spectrum.
But I've kind of forgotten about it. And again, as you go through the books, really the only White Court vampires we deal with are the Wraiths. So it always comes back to the lusting part of it. But I was like, if these guys are focusing on pain and
despair,
which again, it's all emotional.
Yeah.
Whatever. So fine, that's what the incubus does.
Feel like, yes, having sort of branched out into these flavors of it.
As opposed to some people like some spice, some people like sour.
You're right.
You know, that, the Truel doesn't stop the Malvora or the Skaven, just the Wraiths or something. But
it could, yes, have a much more, because yes, they make a big deal about, you know, daddy making them. And again, right, if you're not of House Wraith, then...
Yeah, who gives a fuck about love?
That. So yeah, no, that is very fair.
That was just a question I had when I was rereading this chapter. I was like, wait a fucking second.
But speaking of lust, he has to explain to Murr, first of all, who Catwell is. Because he's like, oh, yes, that's right. You were off with your boy toy.
I love this.
And Molly's, she's like, definitely my man. Yeah, and Molly.
The Facebook moment.
Which I love. Because not only have we all done that, but it's even funnier, like you say, in this day and age where we all talk about, like, smashing our phones onto our faces because we're all holding, like... tablets and phones. And
so again, a little bit more of the Murphy questioning the Thomas angle. And again, I really like that Dresden is committed and loyal to his brother. Like, but
I like how Murphy does it too. I'm not saying he did it. Is that the possibility? Right? Like, I kind of respect that too, because we know for the most part Murph likes Thomas. They've worked well. Address your biases, yeah. I get you don't want it to him. I don't want it to be him. Could it be him? Yeah, and again, like you say, because it gives you that whole, if it could be Thomas, then there's 10,000 other vamps in the White Court that it could, you know what I mean? Like, we're just not closing off that. So yeah, difficult as it may be, much as we don't want it to be, like, the facts we are given are yes, this is where, right? So, yeah, I think she does it sort of in a kind enough way. She's not, like, bitchy about it. She's not, like, throwing it in his face. She's not, like, hair on your side. But she's like, dude, we're going to be honest. Like, you know, okay, yeah, fine, it could. But it wasn't him that did it. Like, okay, fine. I can appreciate, yes, your loyalty, your trust. But the fact that, yeah, she's not letting him skip out on it, that he's not just brushing it over. She's like, you gotta do it. And then, again, the whole manipulation fact of everything else above and beyond that. Because that is... whichever house of the White Court you're part of is still all about manipulations and cat's paws and nothing overt.
Right.
If you can help it.
Harry starts to theorize that maybe there's a chance that Thomas, since he's not responding, might be being held by the passenger.
Because, yes.
Because normally he checks in by now, at least.
I was going to say, to go this long when Harry is actively trying to reach out.
Make contact.
And those vague comments... in the car about, like, you know, have you brought him? I don't even remember. I have to go back. But you're like, no, he's still resisting. He's still not. But, you know, exactly. Suddenly, like, wait a minute. If you put that light on it, that could be this interpretation of that. So, yes, now all of a sudden you're like, aha, he's not responding because he isn't able to. And they have put him out of the way so that he can't stop, interfere, warn Harry, help Harry.
New level of conflict?
New level of conflict. Just because, again, without knowing anything.
Let's make this harder. Ha-ha. Oh, it's not hard enough. A little bit more.
Ha-ha. Now all your allies have been kidnapped. Figure it out now, Dresden.
All of the plates are spinning in the air.
Oh. All right, time for some crepuscular activities.
Yeah. He wants to take Mouse with him to go.
Sounds terrible, really.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So Murphy figures that the hidey hole where he tracked him to, he's like, oh, he's going to be long gone from there, blah, blah, blah. And she's
he's left his hibernaculum.
It was just too vertiginous a location for
him. Oh, God.
But yeah, but it's
we learn.
Eventually, not always well. But yeah, but she's like, I love. She's like, take the dog
in
with you.
Corpusculous leers. Sorry, I'll stop now. Go ahead.
But yes, she's like, might not hurt to check it out, right? Take the dog. He can pick up his scent. He's like, I probably got rid of his scent. She's like, who gets rid of a scent? And he's like, wizards. But just, I gotta be with Murphy. Like, yeah, not the first thing you, all right, we're all used, we've all seen the crime shows. You know, you get rid of your hair, you get rid of your fingerprint. Yeah, I was gonna say it's a lot harder. How do you, yeah.
Magic!
But then you can just track the residual magic traces. I don't know, does bleach just get rid of a, I'd assume you'd have to use something like that to get rid of a scent trail.
Mill odor.
Mill odor.
But, you know,
I'm just going to Febreze.
Just a lot. Yeah.
The same way that bleach gets rid of blood, cops now view a specific, or cops now see a large amount of bleach as being suspicious in and of itself.
Yes.
So I'm sure, you know, vampires scenting out a large amount of bleach is also going to be like, okay, well, let's look for the guy smelling like bleach now.
But no, not for you. I would assume you would bleach the area.
That's what I'm talking about, but still, you know, who's ever poured bleach and then not walked away with, like, an orange spot on their clothes? It's basically impossible to avoid.
I get your point. To a large degree, you're correct. I am going to say probably there's a lot of people out there that aren't you, Jessica, that managed to walk away without.
I don't own a single black item that doesn't have some form of bleach spillage, splatter.
That's because, yeah, they make you wear it for
the
work,
industry.
That
might be a little bit of a bias.
This is not just a me problem, okay? I know that. I know that deeply.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Another I do also, too. Real quick interjection about Murphy saying how, like, things are looking really suspicious around her right now. Yes, yes, they are. You've been bombed. You've been shot at. You've been run off the road. You're tracking random people. You're on vacation right now. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This whole Murphy's like, I gotta do some legwork. What are you doing? Going to the office every day and being like, I'm just searching out my neighbors, guys. Don't even worry about it.
I like how convenient is it the hidey hole just happened to be that close to, like, Anna's apartment and everything anyways, that I was, like, literally, like, less than a block and a half away also got. I was like, really? Like, what is he
with
just
the
every
price
time?
Of gas?
He
Come
just
on.
Said, yeah, right. It's like, I can't afford to. I just literally set up shop near every victim's home. But yes. Yeah.
Joke's on you. Crazy. I've got protein bars in every corner of this base.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, how bad are they when even the monsters hiding down there are like, I'm not touching that shit. I don't care whose Cliff bars those are. They can have them.
It's kind of actually pretty pathetic that, yeah, if you're base
Excuse me, I'm just
going
to go over and eat some raw sewage. You can have those.
It's just a bedroll and some protein bars. And it's like, yeah, you could have cut the protein bars on you, dude. Like, there's literally nothing here.
You leave that in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just an extra scent to track.
I have to bring it inside or it's like I haven't moved in.
I need something to unpack.
I can't live out of my suitcase, okay? I've got to hang up my clothes in the hotel. Just can't get rid of that nesting feeling.
Or it's the contrary, just has them everywhere. He's got a box in the hide, he's got a box in the car, he's got a box in the hide, he's everywhere. He's just stashed bars and water bottles.
Harry and Murphy make a plan.
Succinct.
At dawn we
How
plan.
Long did it take us to say that?
This concludes our episode 18.8. More dick jokes. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and mcanallys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.